Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on Quirky Catnips, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park. This frightfully funny tale is narrated by the ever-so-snarky Skitters the Cat. Find out what happens when Skitters goes cattywampus for a kitten named Harriet. Tune in each week to hear a new chapter of Quirky Cat Goes Splat, only on Pet Life Radio. Meow, kitties!
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Goes Splat. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
Splat!
Meow, bitches.
Twisted Tales by Skitters the Cat. Part 18.
I've heard it said that technology is separating humans, making them feel less connected regardless of how obsessively they check Facebook. It's had just the opposite effect on me. Thanks to the internet, I've been forced to endure the most tedious Skype sessions with Nancy Neptune. Despite my obvious upgrade in living conditions, Neptune is infected with a strange guilt about leaving me at Gecko's Gulch. Like being thoroughly adored by twins and having the run of a desert mansion is torture. I put up with Neptune's viral visits, not for my sake, but for hers. Neptune has grown quite fond of spewing strange stories about life in New York. She's also oddly connected to the events in Utah, privy to information that a cat with paws on the ground should be aware of, but somehow isn't. I really wasn't in the mood for tonight's prattle, but now I'm glad I didn't zone out like I normally do. Neptune started her one-way conversation by apologizing about Harriet. Evidently, even people in New York are aware of my affections for the purdy cat of Juniper Hollow. Not that I've hid my whiskers under a barrel when it comes to Harriet. That said, I was the last one to know Harriet was gone for good. When Arinda booted me out of her van like a smelly sack of stale fast food, my only thought was, wow, she let Harriet stay in? Initially, I didn't think anything about not seeing Evangeline around. The women from Zion Flats had the week off from good karma. As for Juniper Hollow, Brandon and Taj had raised enough hell out there even I thought it was a good idea to lay low for a while. Then Neptune set me straight on what was really happening. According to her, Evangeline and Harriet had been plopped down in Las Vegas like a shaky bet. Brandon and Taj just graduated to my official shit list. If they hadn't been so eager to expose the history of Juniper Hollow, I'd still have my blazing hot gal pal. I looked around for Brandon's precious term paper, thinking I'd return the favor with a golden shower, known in some cat circles as a sticky icky. Unfortunately, he stashes the thing in a drawer I can't open even using my longest claw. I settled for scratching the screen on Brandon's laptop, then taking a nap in a pile of his clean underwear. Too bad the hair on my butt had already fallen off.
Chapter 18. Brandon Spinkle.
Things have been pretty tense around Gecko's Gulch these days. Taj's dad had a heifer when he heard what happened at Juniper Hollow. He's coming here on Thursday to rip Taj a new one. I hope he doesn't ship Taj off to Mrs. McMurdy Land like he's been threatening to do. I've overheard some of Blue's phone conversations with Mr. Wakefield. As torqued as she is, Blue thinks banishing Taj to Boston for the rest of the summer is too harsh. I take that as doublespeak for Blue not wanting to be stuck here with just me. Something is happening with Taj's mom, so maybe that's why he's not getting his ass raked over the coals. Dealing with my own dad hasn't exactly been a day at Disneyland either. He didn't blow a gasket, so I can only guess Blue has been selective in what she's told him. Dad reamed me pretty good about trespassing at Juniper Hollow, but didn't say a word about the Belladonna. When Taj got busted dragging Evangeline out of the religious dunk tank at Juniper Hollow, I decided to confess to Blue about the deadly bouquet. I thought it might help if Taj wasn't the only one up Crap Creek without a paddle. Of course, I didn't say anything about swiping Randall's van to deliver the flowers. No sense in committing Harry Carey. Despite all the trouble we've caused, Blue seems really distracted. This doesn't mean we're in the clear, she's just cutting us some slack. She's placed a lot more restrictions on what we can do. We're no longer allowed to just take off on the ATVs like we used to. Even worse, Blue insists on staying in Naval with us when Taj has to work. Skitters is pissed because Blue won't let him come with us. A couple days after Orinda squealed out of Utah in her rusty bucket of bolts, I was doing a lunch run when I spotted two people enjoying a little afternoon delight in the park. We don't normally go to Naval on Thursdays, but they were swamped at the bakery, and Taj got called in to work an extra shift. I was on my way to the best little hair house with a load of corned beef sandwiches and pepper jack poppers. Everyone at the salon is all Twitter-pated over a new place called Our Daily Bread. It's clear across town, so I cut through Central Park to save time. The poppers have to be at least lukewarm if I want a decent tip. As I was tearing through the park, I saw something strange out of the corner of my eye. I slammed on the bike brakes, causing the gay sleigh to jackknife and almost tip over. Why was Blue talking to some guy in the park? It looked like they were having a very animated conversation. Right about then, Blue looked up as a group of senior citizens wandered in for a lunchtime lecture. Whew, I didn't think she saw me. The last thing I want to do is irritate Blue. Blue hustled us back to Gecko's Gulch as soon as Taj got off work from a Taste of Heaven bakery. She seemed really upset. For once, I didn't think we were the cause of it. Taj and I were mugging out around Moon's Pool when the chime rang on the gate. From out of nowhere, Blue bolted out of the house, racing past us while she shouted at the caller to identify themselves. Holy crap! I'd been moving in on Kiefer's girlfriend and now his dad was here to harass me about it. Blue made Taj and I go in the house while she talked to Kip. From the window where Taj and I were spying on the activity in the courtyard, it looked like Blue wasn't happy about this unexpected visit. She kept making these wild gestures, like she was super annoyed. At one point, Deputy Nichols tried to put his meaty hands on her shoulders. Why was this knuckle-dragger trying to touch Dad's wife? I was about to go out and ask, when all of a sudden he backed off. Kip said a few more things I couldn't hear, then let himself out of the gate. Blue stomped into the house, obviously peeved to the hilt. When I tried to ask her about it, Blue snapped that nothing was wrong. I was beginning to wonder if Blue was just like Taj's mom. They were good friends who seemed to have a lot in common. Maybe stepping out on their husbands is the in thing to do this summer. First, there was that zonky scene with Blue and that guy in Central Park. Now we've got Deputy Dillhole pawing at her like a dog. I thought about confronting Blue about all this. My dad can be a real numpty, but he doesn't deserve to be cheated on. Again. Then I came up with a better idea. Before I come right out and accuse Blue of having an affair, I should get some proof. I got my chance the next day. Things got off to a shectic start. Taj's word for shitty and hectic. A Taste of Heaven bakery is always slammed these days, meaning everyone who works there now depends on me to get their lunch. I usually have to go in shifts since Taj's co-workers normally aren't courteous enough to order from the same place like they do at the best little hair house in Naval. I end up with extra tips, but the bakery people are a pain in the butt, especially Taj because he has to special order everything. He has a conniption fit if his stuff doesn't look like it just rolled out of Paula Deen's Southern Fried Kitchen. Like she'd done the day before, Blue slept in the car with me until the library opened. Blue commandeered the couch she'd used on Thursday, apparently unconcerned that she was snoring and drooling in a public place. What the hell was wrong with her? The librarian shot a dirty look her way when the alarm went off on Blue's phone. Claiming she had an appointment, Blue left, making me promise to keep checking in. I didn't need to start my lunch service for a few more hours, so I watched as she drove off, trying to guess where she was going. On a hunch, I rode my bike past the Pitt County Sheriff's Department. Blue's car wasn't in the parking lot. I was about to head back to the library when Deputy Nichols' son, Kiefer, and his posse of lamoid losers rounded the corner. I shouldn't have stopped when Kiefer motioned me over. Not wanting to be a wussy, I went anyway. Kiefer started by addressing me as a crappy son of a sphincter. So, he knows about my dad. Congratulations on learning how to use Google, Kiefer, I said, trying to act chill. His insult about my dad would have worked a whole lot better if he had called me a shitty son of a sphincter, but Kiefer is such a little churchy boy, he wouldn't dare to swear. Kiefer tries to get around this by using dippy expressions like, Jiminy Christmas, and shut the front door. No one outside of Naval would think throwing shade like that was even remotely cool.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. Whether you're going on a trip or just tripping, Quirky Cannabis Country is the perfect audiobook to take on your next adventure. Find out what happens when a group of extreme kooks gathers to participate in a reality TV show near an oasis of kick-ass cannabis. Quirky Cannabis Country by Adele Park. Get it today on audible.com.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We now return to more of Quirky Cat Goes Splat by Adele Park on Pet Life Radio.
By this point, Kiefer knew I had sent the Belladonna bouquet to his girlfriend. He started out by threatening to kick my grass for trying to kill Courtney Fletcher. I noticed that Courtney had recently updated her Facebook status to single. I got off my bike, thinking it would hurt a whole lot less if Kiefer decided to paste me one. His goonies immediately surrounded me. My body was clammy with sweat, and not just from the heat. I see Courtney's up for grabs, I said, deliberately trying to get under Kiefer's skin. She keeps texting me. This wasn't exactly true. It was mostly me texting her. We hung out at the pool a lot, but we'd never been on an actual date. Kiefer worked in the afternoons for his grandpa, so he was only at the pool on Sundays. Naval is a small town. I'm sure someone tipped him off that I was hanging around his girlfriend. I shouldn't have been shocked when Kiefer pushed me. I took a hard fall, landing butt first on the pavement. One of his gumbies kicked me in the shin. For some reason, that ticked me off more than getting thrown to the ground. I grabbed the guy by the ankle, trying to yank him down. I would have succeeded if Deputy Nichols hadn't shown up just then, dragging him away from me. To my amazement, Kip turned on his own son, pulling him by the collar. I could hear Kip spitting out some angry words. Good. I hope Kiefer gets grounded. The group scattered, leaving me alone with Deputy Nichols. He may have saved me from a walloping, but I wasn't off the hook. Kip asked me a bunch of creepy questions, mostly about Blue, cementing my belief that something was going on. The subject of Belladonna never came up. Maybe he didn't know about it. I was finally able to get away by claiming I had lunch orders to fill. It wasn't even 11 o'clock, but Kip let me go, promising he would follow up with Blue. Well, thanks. His son tries to beat the living crap out of me, and I get in more trouble with Blue. Glad for the excuse to get away, I jumped on my bike, wincing when I tried to sit on the seat. I rode towards the library standing up, cursing Kiefer, Kip, and Blue. Passing by a fancy government building on Petal Street, I thought I saw something familiar. Turning my bike around so fast I nearly wiped out, My fears were confirmed. Blue's SUV was in the parking lot. What was she doing here? I wasn't sure what kind of business this was, but I got a sick feeling Blue was filing for a divorce. The front side of the building had a row of oleander bushes, blooming with bright pink flowers. I stashed my bike in the hedge and crawled in to wait. Forever! I passed the time messing around on my phone, finally texting Courtney to see if she wanted to have dinner sometime. It sounded ridiculous, even to me. What was I gonna do? Load her in the child carrier and ride her over to Our Daily Bread for a soup bowl? Courtney immediately texted back. When? I was really starting to sweat now. On top of that, a bunch of gnats were invading the oleanders I was hiding in. I kept slapping at them, sometimes even hitting myself. I lunged out of the bushes just in time to see Blue walking down the front steps of the building. She was with the same guy I saw her with in the park. My suspicions were confirmed. Blue was dumping Dad for this pudwhacker. They were probably in there figuring out how to sue him like my mom did. Without thinking, I called out, "Hey Blue, who's your new boyfriend?" Under other circumstances, I would have been steamed by her reaction. Instead of acting guilty, Blue started laughing. The man who was with her didn't think it was very funny. Neither did I, especially when he addressed me as Brandon and asked me to step into the building with him. Oh no, maybe I'm in trouble about the Belladonna. Or worse, what if they found out I stole Randall's van? Could they throw me in jail for that? Blue introduced her man friend as Bruce Laramie. He was with the FBI. I could feel the cinnamon twists I had for breakfast bubbling up to the surface. There must have been something rotten in them, because just then Blue excused herself, running out of the room with her hand over her mouth. When Blue returned a few minutes later, her face was pasty white. I couldn't help but ask, "Were you out there yodeling your cinnamon twists?" Blue shot me a dirty look and told me to pay attention to the questions. Mostly, they were about Nephi Stratton. When Mr. Laramie asked if I'd been on the property at Juniper Hollow, I said yes. I didn't know how many times, but it was a lot. I didn't see any point in lying. Blue already knew all about it. For some weird reason, Mr. Laramie didn't ask me about the night Taj found Evangeline in the baptism pool. Maybe he was saving up to grill Taj about that. The questions seemed to go on forever, and most of them didn't make any sense to me at all. Especially the part about food stamps. I wasn't even quite sure what those were. I interrupted to tell Mr. Laramie I thought Evangeline's dad had been murdered. He wanted to know why I thought that, then told me Evangeline's dad was alive and well, living in a state prison somewhere in Nevada. This nugget of info really jacked up the thesis of my paper for American Studies. To my surprise, I've really gotten a kick out of trying to figure out what happened at Juniper Hollow. Now I've got this hinky idea that I want to be an investigative journalist. I may have been wrong about Evangeline's dad, but there was still a lot of stinky cheese in the refrigerator at Juniper Hollow. I'm glad Taj came out of the closet as the Prince of Pastries. It will make fessing up that I want to write for the school newspaper next year a lot easier to explain. The interview ended when Blue noted it was time for me to start my lunch deliveries. Thank God I've recently started having my customers text their orders so I don't have to waste time going to a Taste of Heaven bakery or the Best Little Hair House just to get them. As usual, Taj wanted something that took a whole page to explain. Fortunately, everyone was still hooked on Our Daily Bread, so I only had one restaurant to go to that day, even though it took three separate trips to get everything. I was pooped by the end of my deliveries. Taj's dad was picking him up at the bakery, so I rode back to Gecko's Gulch alone with Blue. She still wasn't looking too good. Finally, I just had to ask, "Blue, are you giving Dad the old heave-ho?" She seemed shocked by the question, assuring me she wasn't. "Then what's up with you and Deputy Nichols?" Instead of answering, Blue started to cry. "What's wrong?" I asked, suddenly worried. Blue pulled the car over, cranked up the AC, and laid it all out. A long time ago, Blue had an affair with Kip, even though he was married. She didn't know my dad when all this was going on, so I couldn't understand why she was so upset. Then she started gargling out a bunch of other stuff that had nothing to do with Kip. Something about growing weed and selling it in Boulder. I already knew about that. Her ex-boyfriend, Stephen Finch, works with my dad, so I knew they had a pot store in Boulder called Agent Orange. After she hooked up with Dad, Blue sold her share of the business. What I didn't know was that most of the weed was grown in the oasis near Gecko's Gulch. Blue assured me the plants were gone, and that Stephen was now growing his ganja in Boulder. I could have corrected her on this point, but again, I was trying to fly straight so Blue wouldn't take away any more of my freedoms. "Okay," I said. "You had an affair with Deputy Nichols a long time ago and you grew some weed. Is that it?" Neither one of those things seemed like a big deal to me. Then Blue dropped a nuclear bomb by telling me she was pregnant, emphasizing it was Dad's baby. She didn't know what flavor yet, but had a hunch it was a boy. I didn't understand why this was bad news. "What does Dad think?" I asked. Blue started sobbing even harder. I wondered if she was going to yak again, thankful we were pulled over on the side of the road. Nothing makes me want to bow down to the porcelain god more than smelling someone else's puke. Blue held on to what was left of her breakfast, but cranked up her crying to the point where she was almost gasping for air. I didn't think getting preggers was such a big deal until Blue explained that my dad didn't want any more kids. At least not yet. What a jerk. Dad knocks up Blue, then takes off for the summer so he can play Mr. Rockstar. He did the same damn thing to my mom. It didn't excuse Mom's decision to do the horizontal mambo with one of my classmates, but I can sort of see how these things get started. I wanted to let Dad know exactly what I thought about all this, but Blue made me promise to keep a cork in it. After dinner, Blue set up a Skype session for Skitters. I can't believe Nancy Neptune makes her cat sit through these things. Half the time, he has an expression on his face that says, "Kill me now." I was heading to my room to play some video games when I heard Blue ask Nancy where she was. Curious, I popped into the study. Most of the screen was taken up by Neptune's face, which is polka-dotted with numerous piercings. There was no mistaking the background. It was the same one Dad Skyped from every night.
What happens when cosmetics and polygamy collide? Find out in Quirky Killers by Adele Park. Take a trip to quirky polygamist country, where one of the local brides is just itching to get her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Quirky Killers. Get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Let's Talk Pets. Every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.